Yesterday evening we were here with Apostle Aroma, and this morning he's back again. So, can we stand up as we receive this God church servant, Apostle Aroma? God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Papa, today happens to be my 46th birthday. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we give you praise. We magnify your name. We thank you for this great moment that you have given us the grace to witness. Thank you for your sons and your daughters, great servants of the gospel that you have caused to converge on this ground of refuge. We ask, O God, that your mighty hand rest upon the occasion this morning, and let everyone be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please, you may be seated in the house of God. If you came with a Bible, please turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I acknowledge the presence of the gatekeepers of this nation in the labor of the gospel that are present here. God bless you indeed. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that had wrought us for the same selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The contemplations of Apostle Paul in this scripture are deep contemplations, and it will require some form of deliberate attention to capture what is the kernel behind his communication. He speaks about our mortal bodies, and he said that though our house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God that is domiciled in the heavenlies. And the meaning of all the technical words that he used in that scripture is to symbolize the fact that right now in the heavenlies, our spiritual bodies bodies that are modified to operate within the framework of the scope of the existence called eternity is domiciled in the heavens. The second thing that Apostle Paul raises in this scripture is the possibility of loaning that spiritual body momentarily. And that possibility is captured in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, for in this body, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And he says, if we get to be clothed with this house that is of heaven and from heaven, the Bible reveals that we shall not be found naked. In order for us to understand the meaning of the scripture that I read to us, we will need to do some definition of terminologies, one of which is to find the meaning of naked, as it is used in this particular context. If you are still with me, say amen. Verse 5 contains the technology by which God achieves this possibility that Apostle Paul speaks about. So we'll come back to verse 5 subsequently. But we need to define what it means to be naked. And the state of being naked is a state that we are delivered from when we are clothed with our tabernacle, which is domiciled in heaven. Are you with me? Okay, so let's go to the book of Genesis and try to define the terminology naked. If we succeed in doing that, then I will be able to come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to interpret what Apostle Paul meant in the body that he expressed in that scripture. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the account of the fall of man. Before this time, something happened in the heavenlies. Satan was, the angel called Lucifer was displaced from heaven. And unfortunately for Adam, he was the physical perimeter wall that was supposed to guard such things as enter into the earth. He was equipped with the powers to exercise guardianship in the Garden of Eden. For the Bible reveals that he was called to dress the garden and to keep the garden. He was supposed to maintain it and to ensure that the territorial integrity of that region was not breached. Somehow, Satan was able to compromise the surveillance and the security systems that Adam put in place in the Garden of Eden. And when he entered into the realm, he needed a body. He needed a legitimate tabernacle vessel for him to possess in order for him to carry out his strategies, his plans, his intentions. That such intentions that he wanted to pioneer in the heavenlies, and he was denied access and deposed from heaven, is looking for an opportunity to implement it upon the face of the earth. Came into the realm, shows a creature, and I like us to pay attention as I read to us the book of Genesis chapter 3, beginning from verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, Had God said that ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Notice that when Satan made a bold appearance into the Garden of Eden, there were numerous assortments of creatures he could possess, but he chose to possess the serpent. And the reason for which he chose to possess the serpent was because of an innate quality that the serpent had in a superfluous fashion. And this innate quality was his subtlety. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. The mission that Satan came to accomplish in the Garden of Eden required a lot of subtlety. And when we say subtlety, we mean that someone is trying to achieve something, but it doesn't look like what he wants to achieve is what he is actually setting out to achieve. So he got all of the camouflage that he needed to prosecute his intention in possessing the serpent. So when he possessed the serpent and brought his supernatural power on the ability that was innate and inherent in the serpent, he was able to get the ultimate mask that he needed in order to conceal his true intentions. The first thing he did when he came into the garden was that he came with a question. Satan happens not to be omniscient, he's not omnipotent, he's not omnipresent. He doesn't know everything, he cannot do everything. He's not everywhere. He has a limitation. I want to believe that when God was speaking to Adam and telling Adam, in the day that you eat of this fruit, ye shall surely die. I want to believe that Satan was far away. So Satan had video without audio. So Satan was seeing God do like this. Hallelujah. So when he came with a question. Can you see how wrong the question was? Can you see how many gaps the question that Satan presented had? Follow me. Let me read again. He said, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? The question that Satan put forth is suggestive of his capacity. His data bank was defective. There were gaps in his statistics. And he needed man to help him fill up the gaps in order for him to successfully concoct a weapon that will bind them forever. Now, what I'm saying is this. Satan needs your help to inform him with details of information that will arm him to effectively bind you. He said, had God said that you should not eat of every tree that is in the garden, and you will notice that it was not Adam he was asking the question. It was Eve he was asking the question. It was not the authority of the realm he was confronting. It was someone that was discipled by the authority of the realm. Satan violated the principle of spiritual authority and began to seek to know the position of things from someone that received training from another person. Satan will never confront the structures that God has put in place directly, because he knows that there is an empowerment from God to protect the structures that he puts in place in order for his purposes to prosper in the earth. So he violated the principle of authority and began to speak to Eve. Unfortunately, instead of Eve to say, My husband is in the best position to respond to this, your questions. Because by the time we go to the New Testament, you will find out that the error of Adam was rebellion. But the error of Eve was what? Deception. Are you with me? It is because of that deception, propensity to deception, that God gives man the responsibility of headship in the running, in the structure, the authority structure of a home. Adam was educated. Adam was enlightened sufficiently. Adam was present there. Satan saw Adam. Satan began to talk with Eve. And Eve began to respond. And the details that Adam needed in order to structure the temptation, he got it from the feedback. And he was able to fill up the gaps in his data warehouse. Hallelujah. In Satan's proposal to convince Adam and Eve to subscribe to the deal he had for them, he made a statement. This was his encouragement to make them partake of that which God has outlawed them from partaking in. Satan said that in the day that ye eat of this fruit, you will become wise like God. Hallelujah. So the fruit seemed to have a promise to upgrade the capacity of man. The fruit seems to have the capacity to upgrade man to a level where he doesn't need God again, because the proposal was to bring man to a point where he was utterly independent of God. And the Adam that was created in the Garden of Eden was created to be utterly dependent on God. He was a kingdom agent that was designed to extend the authority, the ruling authority of God in the realm of the earth, and to bring the earth under the influence of the government of God as it is established in the heavenlies. So, man is a creature that cannot exist apart from God and still be relevant in the agenda of God. But the proposal that Satan brought to him was a proposal of independence from God. So the example of life that Adam modeled is the example of rebellion from God. And the New Testament, the example of life that Jesus modeled is the life of utter obedience to God. So there are two races and two possibilities that find expression based on your loyalty to God. So if you decide to be disloyal to God, you are living out the story that Adam has already lived out. You don't need to go far. Go study Adam. Everything that you see in his life is what will manifest in yours. If you decide to subscribe to the authority of God and to obey him, your life will look like the example that Jesus gave. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Unfortunately, man went on the path of independence from God by partaking of this fruit. And I don't want to go into the details of the interactions that took place before he made that choice. Okay. My emphasis really is the first implication that found expression after he partook of that fruit in rebellion to God. So come down with me, Genesis chapter 3. From verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was, and I hid myself because I was naked. You know, we said we wanted to define that word, naked. I'd like you to take a good look at the kind of nakedness that Adam was talking about. Say, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I hid myself because I hid myself because I was afraid because I was naked. Now, the nakedness we're talking about here is not the nakedness that makes ashamed, which is the type you know. The nakedness we're talking about here is the nakedness that makes afraid. I hid myself. How did he put it? I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So the manifestation of the kind of nakedness that I'm talking about from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is a nakedness that makes afraid, not the nakedness that makes ashamed. And the Bible says that if we are clothed with that our house, which is from heaven, we shall not be found. What? You are not with me. We shall not be found naked. In Matthew chapter 17, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. This was the scripture that resulted from that moment when Jesus prayed the prayer. And the prayer that Jesus prayed was that God should clothe him with the glory that he had in the beginning. What Jesus was requesting for was that, is it possible for me to loan my body? My body that is calibrated with the realities of eternity. Can I loan it for a moment? And his father responded to him to go to a certain location, which is what we call the Mount of Transfiguration today. That is where he will answer his prayer. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, and his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. So Jesus began to transfigure. And one of the reasons why God demonstrated this dimension of glory is to unveil to us the way believers actually look like in the realm of the spirit. And so Jesus began to physically transform before their face, and Moses and Elijah was present there. Because in the Old Testament, if you contacted God, there are only two ways to contact God in the Old Testament. You contact him either through the law or through the prophet. And any way you look at it, it is secondhand, a book or a man. But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ has established his kingdom in our hearts. Even when a preacher is preaching to you, what you hear can be much more than what the preacher is saying, because the kingdom of God is resident in your heart. So it goes beyond the impact of what the preacher is preaching, goes beyond what the preacher is saying, or even beyond what the preacher intends, because you are in the crucible of spiritual, divine spiritual reality. And so you will see that there was somewhat of a handover that took place. The kingdom of God and the influence of God was manifested through the law and through the prophets. And right now, the kingdom of God is manifested in the person of the king. It was a high moment in the spirit. And then Peter decided to break the silence. I said, we need to begin construction. And in his proposal for construction, because he wanted to trap those dimensions of glory down, in his proposal, he equated Moses, Elijah, and Jesus in the same class. It was the Father himself that decided to ride on a cloud to stop him, to quieten him. And the way he did it was that he said, this one is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. If anyone should be speaking in this meeting today, it is him. So you hear ye. By so doing, the Father was pedestaling Jesus and revealing to the church that the ultimate voice that drives the kingdom is the voice of the Christ. After this correction took place, guess what happened to the disciples? In verse 6 of Matthew chapter 17, the Bible says, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore. What?
Afraid.
That means they were naked. Because the nakedness that we discovered in the book of Genesis chapter 3 is the nakedness, what? That makes afraid. Oh, you are not with me in this class. Are you there? I'm going somewhere. To round up, before I speak plainly, I'm still speaking through scriptures. I will speak plainly in a moment. But come with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 20, as I round up. Numbers, verse 22. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. That was like a judgment that was issued by God. It is time for Aaron to pass on. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son and bring them up onto Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and he shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount, and Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. I don't know how many of us have ever visited a cinema. The sitting arrangement is put, I think this is a very good example of a cinema, because we have the screen up there, and the screen can serve the people on the topmost floor, on the middle floor, on the ground floor. This is a very good illustration of what a cinema is. That's the kind of thing that happened in the book of Numbers, chapter 20. They came to Mount Hor, and God wanted the entire congregation to see the display that was about to take place. And the display was an actualization of a judgment that God had passed. But the execution of this judgment, God wanted the entire congregation to see the execution of the judgment. So he asked Aaron, he asked Moses to take Aaron and Eleazar and go to the mountaintop. So that was cinema. Everybody could see what was happening. The judgment that God gave was that Aaron was going to die. But the question is, how did Aaron die? It was not by blight or by bomb. It was his garment that was taken away from him and given to someone else. And the moment he no longer had access to those garments, he died. As long as he wore those garments, if Aaron had known that his lifespan was tied to the garments he wore, he would have fought to maintain it. So the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that even though the outward house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God domiciled in the heavenlies. And the Bible also says that it is possible for us to groan, just like Jesus groaned, and the Father gave him the privilege to wear his spiritual body while he was still on earth. So it is possible to loan your spiritual body. The moment you loan it, your capacity in the spirit goes beyond the realm of the mortal. You will notice that the moment Jesus began to put on that garment, he was able to interact with Moses. He was able to interact with Elijah. A new scope of possibilities opened up to him because of what he was clothed with. While I prayed in the night, the Lord spoke to me. And that's the reason for this rigorous Bible study. He says today, he will clothe his people.